Good morning. We'd like to welcome you who are listening to us on radio. This is to the worship service this morning at Trinity United Methodist Church. We're glad you're joining us in your car or in your home. We are located at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana, and our doors are open, and we would love to have you join us if you happen to be in our neighborhood. Our altar flowers this morning are provided by Brian and Brent Weekman families in honor of Dale and Judy Weekman's 54th wedding anniversary. And this broadcast this morning is underwritten by Bob and Jennifer Dorio in honor of John and Jamie Dorio's 15th wedding anniversary and Bobby and Stacy Dorio's 19th wedding anniversary. This morning's sermon, entitled Independence and Interdependence by Pastor Angel Absher, will follow in just a little bit. Preceding that, we have special music by our special guest this morning, the Pastor Thomas Clark family.
I'd like to welcome Pastor Thomas Clark and his family as they sing special music for us today.
Tis love that makes us happy, tis love that smooths the way. It helps us mind, it makes us kind to others every day. God is love, we're his little children. God is love, we will be like him. Tis love that makes us happy, tis love that smooths the way. It helps us mind, it makes us kind to others every day. This world is full of sorrow, of sickness, death, and sin. With loving heart we'll do our part and try some soul to win. God is love, we're his little children. God is love, we would be like him. Tis love that makes us happy, tis love that smooths the way. It helps us mind, it makes us kind to others every day. And when this life is over, and we are called above, our song shall be eternally of Jesus and his love. God is love, we're his little children. God is love, we would be like him. Tis love that makes us happy, tis love that smooths the way. It helps us mind, it makes us kind to others every day.
Amen. To him be the glory always. Yes, yes, yes. I get just a wee bit irritated with people who want to tell me that this country was not built upon Christian principles, for it most certainly was. Yes, people came from England and from other places to this country so that they could worship freely on their own. But the Constitution of our country, every part of our country that is sacred to us, was built upon Christian principles. And beloved, that is where it needs to return, in order for our country to become great again. The 4th of July is always a beautiful symbol of freedom in this country. It is a great celebration of independence. Unfortunately, the word independence itself has come to mean something that our forefathers never intended it to mean. Today, in this day and age, independence has come to mean I can do whatever I want and nobody can tell me what to do. I am independent. And that is not God's design for humanity. Yes, he wanted our country to be independent. He wanted us to be able to worship him freely. But all throughout the word, we find where we are instructed to be interdependent. That our God has created us to depend first and foremost upon him. And then we are to be the church, the body of Christ, each of us using our different giftings, our different natural talents. Our God called us together as one, under one commission, the Great Commission. And if God did not believe that we could carry out this commission, that we could bring Jesus Christ to all of the nations, to all people, he would not have it in his word. He called upon us to help to bring about his promises. He called upon us to ensure that all people hear of his Son, Jesus Christ, so that they would not perish in eternity. He called about us to tell his people that they are forgiven and that they are loved. I loved the song that you sang. And Pastor Tom, I'm sure you will agree with this. No pastor can do this on their own. First and foremost, we need to be in God, in prayer. And we need every member of our congregation. We need the people in our church to be excited about what is happening in church. And there are some exciting things happening in this church right now. There are some changes. It has been a difficult couple of years. But God is doing amazing things, bringing people back closer to him, giving people voice. Trinity is a community of believers committed to God's purposes for changing lives by worshiping God, leading others to Jesus, and building unified teams to reach and care for all people in every stage of life. This is our mission, and God is holding us accountable for the mission that he has given us. But we have to understand that no one can truly carry out any part of God's mission alone. We were created to depend upon one another, to love one another, to build up one another, to edify one another, and support one another. No. I don't believe that you have to go to church in order to be saved, but I believe that you are so very susceptible to the evils of this world. Jim Jones, Waco, Texas, Halley's Comet, and all the crazies that are out there. If you are not supported by a Bible-believing church that prays for, encourages, edifies, and lifts one another up, especially in a time of need. I can remember telling my children that it was a great privilege to be part of a family, that you received so much by being part of a family. You received support. You received people to help you do your homework. You received rides here, there, and everywhere. But there was also some responsibility to being part of a family. Being part of a family means that you stand unified with that family. There may be disagreements about certain things, and that's okay. God didn't call us to have one mind. We are to be in one accord under His Son, Jesus Christ. No two human beings think alike. But we are called to recognize each and every person in the body of Christ and to know that each has a special place. This is interdependence. God has designed us to need each other, and God honors unity. Beloved, I tell you, when any church or anybody comes together in unity under the headship of Christ Himself, wonderful things will indeed happen. Webster defines interdependence as a relationship with each member is mutually dependent upon others. The Apostle Paul basically says it this way in Romans 12, 4 through 5. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same functions, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And again, he reestablishes this in 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 21. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is for this reason any the less of the parts of the body. And the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body. It is not for this reason any the less of the parts of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, then where would the sense of smell be? But God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as He has desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now we are one body with many members. The Bible teaches about interdependence. We are not to be alone, and we do not grow alone. We grow better in the company of one another. Iron sharpens iron. We grow in the company of one another. Nothing good happens spiritually with an independent Christian. We are created to be a team. And that is my focus for our church, that we come together. July 12th, the trustees usually meet at the parsonage once a year just to make sure I'm not tearing it up or anything. So we're going to have a cookout, and we're just going to have a little bit of fun together, because as you are well aware, we've done a lot of changing in the leadership here recently. There's been all kinds. And we need to come together. All of the leadership needs to come together as a team so that together we can lead this church forward, representing Christ in our community. If there are others of you that would like to come, please let me know and I'll make sure that you are able to. I remember hearing a story about a man who went to an asylum for the criminally insane. I don't know why. I just know that he looked at the guard there and he said, there's only three of you there? Three of you, over 100 inmates. Are you not afraid that they will unite and come together, overthrow you and escape? And the guard said, no. Lunatics don't unite. Locusts do. Christians should, but lunatics don't. There's some truth there. Compassion. When Paul talks about the church or about Christians, it is always in the context of togetherness. Unity is a big theme in the Bible. Paul stresses it. Jesus talked about it. Indeed, it is the very foundation of the Bible after Christ. And it is the foundation of our country as well, that people would come together under Jesus Christ. George Washington said, "Nobody can be governed without God and without the Bible," and I believe that. I am fine with people having their own choices as far as their spirituality, their religion, or anything else. What I can no longer stand still for myself, and I pray, beloved, you hear this well, is I must stand up for the beliefs that this country was founded upon. I must stand up for the Bible, for Jesus Christ. I don't have to make a big protest. All I have to do is not be so terrified of offending someone. It is not my intent ever to offend someone, ever. My intent is to bring the word of Jesus Christ with love. If I do offend someone, I let everyone know far and wide. Come and talk to me and we will reason together. Sadly, this country has come to a place where we no longer as Christians have voice. Every other religion known to man can speak in the school systems and everywhere else and influence our children but us. And beloved, we need to make a change in that. Many ministers will guilt trip people into service. Oh, but I need you and you're the only one that can do it. So far, I've held to my promise to my God on my commissioning. I said I would never do that. For one thing, I never want to put someone in a place of service that they're not called, that they're not gifted for. And I want family to be first. Your family has to come first. Your workplace can do without you. They might try to tell you that they can't, but they can. Your family must be first. And then, wherever you feel led to serve in the church, I want to invite you. We'll do a spiritual gifts inventory again. I know you've done one before, in a few months. And I would like to invite you all to participate in that. But my prayer is before that, that everyone will become excited about the things that are happening in the church and you will begin volunteering your time. Connection. Paul's emphasis. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. To me, that defines interdependence, God's design. Our country is strong. It was built strong, but it is beginning to fray. And it is my belief that the only hope that we have is to pray for our leaders, whether we agree with them, whether we voted for them or not. Maybe more so if we didn't vote for them. And then for us to stand up and act out what we have learned in this word. And as I look around here, every single person sitting here knows this word pretty well. And I know that of you. All we have to do is live it out without fear of being politically correct. The emblem of the state of Kentucky shows two men facing each other and shaking hands, and the motto beneath it reads, "United we stand, divided we fall." This could well be the motto of a nation, a congregation, or a family. We are called to stand united. I will not preach about political things from the pulpit, but there will be some things coming in a year or more for my beloved denomination that will be difficult. Those things will be spoken of in meetings after church. They don't belong in the pulpit. And it is my vision that first we will have come together so united that no matter what our differences of opinion are, that we remember first and foremost that we never know whose feelings we may be hurting when we say something. That we are so strong in our Lord that we will stay united as a church. We will retain everyone and we will continue to grow. And that's about all you'll hear from the pulpit, from me. Great leaders understand the importance of interdependence and of creating other leaders and of developing teamwork. There is no I in teamwork. I know it may not look like I have been striving in that direction, unless you are here on a weekly or a daily basis. But those of us who are here more often know that I have been striving for teamwork. We do talk and come together. We even pick music out together. It might not be pleasing to every single person every single Sunday, but we are trying as a team to make sure that everyone is blessed by the musical selections. I thank your family so much for playing the organ, because that is a hard position to fill. And to find somebody who is very adept in playing that beautiful organ is rather expensive. So I would ask you to still keep praying for musicians, that we would have somebody that would come at least once a month and play either the organ or the piano, and that we would continue on with our beautiful choir. When gold was first discovered in California, people prefabricated whole villages in New England and sent them by ship to California, image telling a man, "There's a whole village that holds this ship. There is gold enough for everyone." I don't want to make those kind of promises, folks. I don't believe in those kind of promises. The kind of promises that I do believe in are the words that are written in this word, and I will always preach the whole truth of God. And what it tells me is, rather than being independent on my own, always thinking about me first, that the first and foremost thing that we can do to honor our God is to first love Him with all of our mind, all of our body, all of our strength, and all of our heart. And then to come together in unity, to worship Him, to adore Him, to rely upon Him, and to depend upon Him. For He will lead us through any turmoil whatsoever. What will be has not been made known yet. So we, Christians, must become mature, attaining the whole measure, the fullness of Christ. The whole emphasis on all of these verses in unity, and the whole result is maturity and us coming to a Christian maturity together. Each one of us has something to add. I don't know how many times I have sat in Sunday school class, and I'm so grateful for our Sunday school class, and I have heard things and I have seen a view on Scripture that I've not heard before. And then I hear a wonderful conversations that I happen to miss that go on in our Bible study on Wednesday evening. I learn more from you all than you will ever learn from me in this pulpit. My prayers are that we are guided first and foremost always by God, and that we are dependent upon Him for every decision that we make as a church, and that we come together as a body, whether or not we agree with certain little things, what the music is, some other little things, some major things coming along the pike, and that we stand together, because I believe that will illustrate to our community and to our world more than anything else the living Word of God. When we are able to truly be Christian in front of other people. You know, I hear some of my brothers and sisters talk about that satanic, demonic NIV version of the Bible, and I think, beloved, please, there are already so many people looking at Christians wanting so bad what we have, but afraid to reach out for it. First, they want to watch us and see if we really are as we say we are. Do we really live out these principles? And none of us are perfect. None of us do it all the time. But if we intentionally go about causing division in the body of Christ, what message are we saying to those who so desperately need Christ in their life and they are sitting on the fence? Paul insists on several things. Paul has made this principle of interdependence so clear. So I tell you this, and I insist in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their own thinking. Paul insists that they think this way from now on, that we think of one another, that we think before we speak. Something I'm not always so good at, right, Terry? He says, why is this so important? To prevent arrogance. Because we all know that arrogance and pride is the quickest way to cut us off from the sunlight of the Spirit. Arrogance, pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, and anger. Anger might feel powerful. I'm struggling with things in my life right now, and anger feels powerful. It's easier for me to be angry than it is for me to feel the pain of what I'm feeling. But anger cuts me off from the sunlight of the Spirit. Anger makes me ineffective as your pastor. Anger makes me ineffective to the people I work with one-on-one. Anger prevents me from hearing God's word for other people. We are to develop accountability within our own body. And when one strays, and we will, we are in love to bring people back while it is still that day, in love. And then if there is still a disagreement, we try to move forward as one in love, not allowing anything to split us apart. That is the message that this country so desperately needs. This will help us to mature. It will help us to have purpose, to experience God's power, and it will challenge all who live in sin. Rather than thumping people upside the head with the Bible and telling them, if you don't change your ways, you're going to go to hell, turn or burn, love them as they come to know our Savior, and let Him do any changing in their life that needs to be done. I know that I still have a great deal of growing to do. I know that I fail frequently. And I know that God's love and grace is a bit more difficult for me to accept than someone beating me over the head or chastising me for what I've done. I can accept that. I've had a lot of that in my life. I can accept that easily. But when somebody offers a hand of love towards me, when I am not behaving correctly, when I am not living right, that drops me to my knees and makes me have to look inside of myself and makes me have to look to our triune God and beg Him for help and beg Him to help me to understand the person who came to me. That is what our God wants of us, is for us to gently lead others. Maybe getting up won't be as easy as I thought. Okay. He wants us to lead others to the foot of the cross and to walk with them. True freedom is not an escape from responsibility to do whatever we want to do. True freedom comes when we understand that we are not independent, but interdependent. I am never free alone. Only as I am connected to Christ and in Him. I would like to invite our beautiful Mrs. Clark to lead us in singing "How Great Thou Art," for us all to stand, for Pastor Tom to lead us in singing it, and for us to remember just how great our God is. And that nothing is impossible with Him.